it's not so much long sermons, it's mere thochtes, because straight after this, we've got a choir practice. I think that's gone ahead, is it? Just a choir practice straight after the morning meeting, and then quite a few of us has gotten to shift a lot of the stuff for the church down to the leisure centre with amplifiers and lights and things like that. But I've really been stirred as I've been looking at the life of Mary. We're going through a series, Christmas Scenes. The first scene was 2 weeks ago when we looked at Mary, the pondering, thoughtful Mary with the newborn baby Jesus in her hands. It says that she just sat there and pondered and thought everything about fit had been said and done about this baby. And there was angelic encounters with the shepherds, a lot going on to do with celebration. But that scene that I'm on this morning is a scene at the cross. And it's, I guess in one way, it's easy during the Christmas period to concentrate on the birth and the happiness, and a newborn baby always brings a delightful response. But really, when you start to think about the cross, it was the purpose for the birth. Wasn't it just that a baby would come and angels would respond and heavens would open, but that Jesus would bring salvation to earth? And as 2 weeks ago we spoke about the birth of a Savior, this morning I'm going to speak about the birth of salvation through the power of the cross. And really looking at a mother's heart, and as I've went through the life of Mary, it's amazing that she was at the cross. We don't often speak about that she was at the cross. And one of the lies of the enemy is, well, unless you've been a mom, you don't know how this feels. That's just a lie of the enemy. And one of the greatest fathers the church ever seen was the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, you've got loads of teachers, very few fathers, but I'm your father in the faith. And he raised up kids in the faith. And he never hid a child to Kai's end. So I'm entering into this. Humanly speaking as well, and the fit Mary must have felt at the cross as a mother. Now, 2 weeks ago, was I happy? Because it's the birth of a new child, and so the Savior is born, bringing joy to the world, and peace, and compassion, goodwill to all men. And then 33 years later, you've got this mother standing at the foot of the cross. Let's read it in John chapter 19. Verse 25. I big up the ladies here. Standing near the cross. You got to mind, are the disciples scattered? And one came back, John. He's standing near the cross. You had to be near the cross. You'd have to, wouldn't you? If your child was gone through this circumstance of crucifixion. Far would she be? Nothing can keep this mother's heart from being at the foot of the cross. She wasn't got to stand or sit in her host, wondering if it's going on, if it's happening to my child. This was a heart of a mother saying, I've got to be at the cross. The disciples that had walked with him for 3 years scattered. But yet here's a mother's heart close to that place of pain, that place of suffering for Jesus. And what I see, Mary is quite a popular name here. About as popular as the name Gilbert and Balgar. In the 1990s, Abdi seems to be called Mary. Standing near the cross where Jesus' mother, whose name was? Yes. And his mother's sister, called Mary, the wife of Clopas. And Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciples he loved, he says to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to this disciple, which we know was John, here is your mother. And from then on, his disciples took her into his home. Here we see Jesus at the crucifixion. Mary standing there with another few Marys and John. Standing there, and you've got to imagine how this must have felt, seeing your son, whom you bore to give birth to. Show flesh, give birth to flesh. Imagine how it must have felt for Mary at one time. She would have knelt down, and she would have, like only a good parent, would have put out sandals onto the feet of Jesus as he was growing up, and he became a toddler and he started walking. And as he went through his years at primary school and the academy, he would outgrow that sandals. And so I'd taken some sandals off, and as a good mom does, try on different sandals to see if it would fit the best. And you'd seen him growing up. And he'd also heard the stories of how he walked on water with them feet. And how he's a prince of peace, and the beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. And he's seen how his feet had carried Jesus into the darkest places, but his feet always brought him and bring other people hope. And this feet had walked dusty roads, and yet I wonder how she felt as she suddenly looked up as she was near the cross and she's seen his feet nailed to a cross. That very same feet that she had looked after and cared for and seen grow was suddenly covered in blood. I wonder how that must have felt for this Mary, the mother of Jesus. I wonder how she felt when she looked at hands. There's something special about holding a child's hand, isn't there? And she had seen him growing up and maybe walked hand in hand across dusty roads, dodging the donkeys, dodging the traffic. As we do with kids, we cross a road, we held hands. It's a sign of protection. It's a sign I'm not letting you go, because if I let you go, you might do something you might regret. But hands that we had also as times of celebration and dancing at parties, and we had hands. Mary would have done all this with Jesus. And she'd also had heard the stories, even though she maybe wouldn't have been there personally, how his hands healed the sick, was able to change people's destinies simply by the touch of his hands. These hands would have been known as healing hands, hands of power, the hand that God would be stretching forth through Jesus, bringing joy, bringing love. And these hands that cared for people so much that when people got hungry, you would simply multiply some bread, multiply some loaf, some fish, so that people would be fed, these hands. And yet I wonder how she felt at the cross when she looked up to her son and seen these nail-pierced hands. These hands that weren't really outstretched when he met across a road. Nay, these hands that were outstretched to embrace the love of a mother, but these hands that were outstretched for us, for humanity to pay the price for our sin and for Mary's as well. I wonder how she felt when she looked at the cross and seen his hands, that very same hands outstretched, but now marred, now bloodied, now with great nails through them. How do you think she felt at that moment near the cross? I wonder how she felt as she looked at his face. And as he was growing up, I'm sure she used to pull on that cheeks as we do with kids. She was a mom, come on. She would have seen these things. And she would have looked and would have seen his first stubble coming on them cheeks. And her heart used to leap when she just used to look at Jesus and he was smiling. And this face that would bring so much joy and happiness and radiate God's glory. I'm sure when Jesus just entered a room, people would look at his face and think, wow. Not because he was beautiful, but because there was just something of the divine upon his life. That atmosphere that he carried, or heavenly purpose and pleasure. But yet, as a mom near the cross, she looked up and she's seen that beard now torn. She's seen that cheeks now covered in blood. She's seen that smile now turn into suffering and pain. And that hair that she used to put a comb through after she'd seen his first I said there's heavenly music playing, but I guess it's downstairs, is it? I'd hear that we'd have put a first brush through. And then when Jacob got his first haircut, we kept some of the snippets of the hair. Special moments like that as a parent. And now she was looking upon her son with this crown of thorns, a bloodied mess. I wonder how she felt as she looked upon that picture near the cross as a mama. Different scene for 33 years ago, a different scene for cradling a baby, a different scene for the wooden manger. Now it says the wooden cross, a place of agony, a place of pain. I wonder how she felt. Mary, did you know? Mary, do you know? I got to thinking just a few things. Mary knew the price of her salvation. The cost it was. As she looked upon that cross that Jesus hung on, she knew that it was to pay the price for victory. She knew that it was to pay the price for sin. To pay the price for our souls to be redeemed so that we could get a new start. Mary knew as she looked upon that cross, the lamb that was slain, sacrificed for our sin and for our shame. She knew the price that Jesus would pay for us to be forgiven. And I wonder if we got a fresh revelation of the cross. If it was at that moment for Jesus to pay the price, how could we not be grateful to Jesus for salvation? How could we not at least say thank you for that nail-pierced hands, that crown of thorns? How could we not turn round with a song of praise and a shout of salvation and say, thank you, Jesus. I see what you've done for me, that the price was paid, that you didn't just go to heaven with some Tesco tokens and say, here you go, I'm paying the price for salvation. That the cost that it was great. If you realize how much you have been forgiven, much you will love much. Maybe the lack of love that some people have got in the church is, we don't really get that Mary got. We don't really feel that Mary felt. It's all just became about having a happy time. But yet people, if we recognize the agony that Jesus went through for me, how could we not appreciate the work of Christ in our lives? Come on. Surely a few of us would just want to say, thank you, Jesus. The agony, the pain, that you didn't just come as a baby. That's near the end of the story. That was a start of God's plan to redeem and save humanity for being broken and lost and hopeless. The hope of humanity, the greatest love story ever told, was that old rugged cross. The shed blood, and if there was no shed blood, there was no remission or forgiveness of sins. We wouldn't have had a chance to be born again. Mary, did you know? She's close to the cross. It's interesting that there was a mother's heart close to the cross. A tender heart of a woman bigging up the ladies. The men, we fled. Peter fled. Andrew fled. But we were, and the disciples fled, apart from John, that was sort of a different spirit, the spirit of deep, intense love for Jesus. But our three ladies are patting it back for women's lib. A tender heart. They had to be near to the cross. I pray this morning that we would get a fresh revelation in this festive season, now that Jesus came as a baby and that a Savior was born unto us, but the birth of salvation that gives us hope today. And my prayer for this day of joy is that we wouldn't just approach the event at the leisure center, or let's just have a night of joy and be happy and look at dramas, but the power of the cross would prevail, that people would get saved. There'd be a fresh revelation of the cross, that the Holy Spirit would move in hearts, and suddenly the cross would make sense, and people wouldn't look upon the cross, oh well, take it or leave it, but become so real. They would hear the heart of Mary at that time and think sorrow, deep sorrow mingled with deep joy, as we see the pain, yet we see the hope, we see the cost, yet we see the love. Let's pray for a day of eternal joy as people will give their hearts to Jesus. And maybe you're in here this morning and you didn't really get this yet, and you haven't received or said thank you for the cross. I pray that as I'm speaking, that you would at least in your heart be wanting to say thank you, Jesus. The cost, you would have knew the cost. I want it as well for you to see love, the deep love of Jesus. How did Jesus respond to seeing his mom? Jesus said a few things on the cross. He looked up and says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. He looked across to the criminal that accepted that Jesus was innocent, and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And yet he looked down on his mom. And he says, woman, that's what people do when they think the end is approaching. They start tying up loose ends. It's not unusual if people are knowing that their time on earth is short. They get other business in order before that time comes. This is Jesus getting his stuff in order. And as the elder brother, he had responsibilities to his mom according to the law. And he says, woman, Mary, take this. Son, take John, Cahim's son. I'm tying up my loose ends as the elder brother. I'm going to be with the father. Mary, recognize him. You can't replace a son, can you? People are irreplaceable, but the responsibilities that they will take on can be replaced. So Jesus is saying, I'm going. But mom, I'm not going to leave you without being cared for. John, take her into your home and look after her. And John, look at my mom. Look at Mary. John, take her into your home. Care for her. And you see at that point that Jesus is still maintaining and caring that spirit of love while suffering. Now, while we're suffering, and it's easy to get internal, it's easy to look inward and wonder what I would have done on the cross. Maybe I would have said, look at the suffering and pain that you're causing me. Look at the agony I'm in. Weep for me. Give me sympathy at least. But yet this is Jesus with your heart of love saying, look, I'm putting family order and right so that Abdi's looked after here. That a mother's got to be looked after with a son. That son will look after a mother. And even during a time of suffering, that love would prevail, getting his affairs in order. And it wasn't even, Mary, look after yourself. That's what people say, isn't it? Look after yourself. It wasn't, Mary, look after yourself. John, look after yourself. The Christian message isn't, look after yourself. The Christian message is, look after each other. The Christian message isn't it? Hey, poor people, beggars, just look after yourself. The Christian message is look after each other. Be a family of God. Even in spite of suffering. It was great if he was here last Sunday evening just to have a meal together. And you get the feeling that the spirit of love was just there and it was infectious. Despite our suffering, we're all going through things that would say, I'm suffering because of us, that and the next thing. But yet, the spirit of love that would prevail to look after each other. And my prayer is that the spirit of love would prevail this evening. And as we go into 2019, the vision for the church, isn't it? How can we be more influential in the community? It's not how can we get our name across wider and deeper in this community. It's not how can we use social media better to get our name across so widely and deeply. The vision is how can we love each other is the family of God? And how can the love that we have for each other spread into the highways and byways to the lost and broken people in our society, that in spite of suffering, love would prevail? Jesus says, they will know you by this, your love for one another. The community is now crying out for a Facebook campaign for a church. Community is crying out for love, an expression of love, an expression of hope. And we will use social media, we will use these things to engage with people, but that is not the message of the church. The message of the church is as Jesus was suffering and crucifying and dying for humanity. If it came across, wasn't it selfishness? It wasn't it look after yourself. The message of the church, Jesus Christ, was love, was hope, was look after each other. He didn't need to go far these days to see the hopelessness that exists within some people in our community. Sometimes it's just visible. We was doing a collection at Asda for the school. I was on the door. The festive season, you expect everybody to come in happy and cheerful and glowing. But as people was coming in, honestly, it's sort of people you just seeing the weight of the world upon their shoulders. The disappointment written across some people's face. And I'm not judging them. It's just a visible thing that you see if you just sit and watch people. Now being creepy and like, sit and watch people, but just take time to sit on a bench and read people and see what is going on in the community, and you will see some people carry the weight of the world and it's written on their face. I think it's time for the church to move in a different spirit, a spirit of love, a spirit of hope, the spirit of joy, because that is what people are looking for, and we can, that his name is Jesus. I think Mary would have known at that point, in spite of suffering, love will prevail. And the good news is that that was near the end of the story. For this Mary to look upon her son that was getting crucified, that son that she'd seen grow up during life, that son that she knew was perfect in every way, that son that she heard was walking on water to meet his disciples in a storm, that son that she knew could turn water into wine, that son that she knew could call dead people forth like Lazarus, a miracle maker, promise keeper, that was her son, Jesus. Yet I believe as he was tying up the loose ends of saying, Mary, that's your son, John, that's your mom. He was saying, Mary, you cannot look at me any longer just as a guy that you brought up. Nay, look at me any longer as a son that was crucified, because 3 days later she would have to change the perspective of how she's seen Jesus. Nay, a crucified son, but a living Savior. We get the benefit that we can, the end of the story. We can that this really is a never-ending story. It didn't end at the cross. And surely, if this scripture is relevant for anybody, it's relevant for Mary, and it's relevant for you, that mourning was going to turn to dancing. That the Son, God's Son, was going to return and burst out that tomb. 3 days later, victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. How would Mary have felt to see the return of Jesus? Heart leaping for joy. He's alive. Death, where is your sting? In Songs of Solomon, it says, love is as strong as death. How would she have felt 3 days later, after all that emotion, being close to the cross, seeing the crown of thorns and nail-pierced hands of love, that feet that was nailed to the cross as well? How would she have felt the day of victory, as it says that the new day was dawning? That stone was rolled away. The price had been paid. And that hands would do miracles again. That hands would embrace again. That feet would walk into dark places again through the church of Jesus Christ. That feet would walk on water again. That feet would get dusty again. That feet would move again up until the northeast of Scotland before he walks again. How must she have felt, Mary, with the day of the resurrection, leaping for joy. That face would beam again, would smile again. And we get the picture in Revelations, the resurrected Christ glowing hair, it says, like bleached wool. Glowing, we are authority, we are the majesty, O heaven, like bronze and sapphire. Ah, these wonderful descriptions of just glory and power and majesty and beauty. How must Mary have felt at the day of the resurrection, knowing how she felt 3 days before? And I pray for anybody that has felt suffering in their life. May your mourning be turned to dancing. It's really the end of the story. Maybe in a loved one that you still ponder during the festive season. I wish they were here. I wish they were ruined this Christmas table. Eating turkey and pulling crackers and having a laugh, yet they're gone. It's near the end of the story. May your mourning be turned to dancing. You may see them again and feast with them at the Lord's Supper forevermore. That should give us hope. And this is a scene, O Mary, that we will treasure. And the next time we speak, it might not be next week, there's a gap in between Christmas and New Year that we've got a Sunday morning available, which is also found in the upper room. But I'll leave that for another day. Ask a worship team to come up. This was Mary. Sorry, my pints are loused. Feel a trip up. Gives that a laugh. Joy. Mere joy in heaven under one person that says thank you for the cross and sees a need for Jesus. Other than 99 people that haven't got the same need. We are looking for eternal joy, for angels to be dancing and responding as born in this evening through the revelation of the cross. And as we worship, as we praise Jesus, I'm simply going to ask for us to say thank you and for us to partake of this emblems with deep meaning, knowing, as you know, now, how that must have felt for Mary. And maybe come this morning with a fresh appreciation the work of Jesus in our lives. But wasn't it the end of the story? I pray that we would just have a time of joy, a time of love, a time of appreciation in the midst of a festive season that many people are just speaking about gifts and the baby. That we'd have appreciation of the Savior that came to live and die for us. Let's stand in his presence. Maybe you've never gave thanks before, and you've been pondering all these things. I want to encourage you, now is the day of salvation. And if you want to say thank you for the first time as you partake of the emblems, then please come and see me at the front. May it just be a time of sorrow, but of great joy in heaven. You either appreciate what Jesus done on the cross, or you didn't appreciate it. There's no middle ground or sitting on the fence. Jesus says, if you're for me, you're for me. Either for me or against me. May you need to decide this morning, are you for Jesus and everything that he stood for and went through on the cross? Or are you against and disbelieving it all? As we come in a time of praise and worship, I pray that the power of the cross would be released through the Holy Spirit and grace. And and you'd be bold enough, as Jesus was publicly crucified and his mom stood there, you'd be bold enough that as you partake of the emblems, and this morning you want to say for the first time, thank you, Jesus, that you would simply come and grab my attention and I'd lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer. It's acknowledging it's your first thank you to Jesus Christ. So God, we come before you with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts. We think of Mary. We think of what she must have went through seeing you grow up and seeing you crucified as our son. May I thank you that you was to rise again in glory and victory, and Mary would see you, not just as somebody that she bore birth to, but she would see you as Savior, as Lord, as King of Kings, as Majestic One. And I pray for that revelation, that resurrection power to sweep through this place. As we praise and worship you, we would recognize that you stand in our midst. And we would glean for your glory. We'd glean for your brilliance and majesty in this place. And if anybody is considering you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead them into the most brilliant and wonderful decision they'll ever make. A decision to accept you into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's magnify him as we partake of the emblems.